It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45. A&M Baseball has a new skipper. At 2:30, why does June 9th matter? How about some notable birthdays, including one Natalie Portman? And in mere minutes, Garrett Cole steps into a sticky situation. Lame, I know. And the Olympics are trying to tamp down the fun with this summer's Olympic Village in Tokyo. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Hour number three on a Wednesday. Look, if you can't make a sticky situation joke with this Garrett Cole story, I mean, you're just not trying. You got to have some fun in life.
I tried with the sticky icky comment in hour one, Chad, and I was just kind of done it, too.
That's fine. Sticky icky, sticky wicket, sticky whatever you want. We'll get back to that story. Trey, off of your where are we at in society, somebody says the nun was obviously getting gambling advice from Bucky.
Nice.
Actually, that's not true. She was up $800,000. I don't think she was getting advice from Bucky. Maybe she was going against Bucky.
That is, well, we don't know if she won or lost. We just know that she stole the money.
Fair. Yeah, that's true. Good point. That's true.
There is always the chance that she was listening to Bucky and his thousands of units worth of plays that are wrong 95% of the time.
And then somebody hit us with a little Seinfeld. It's not a lie if you believe it. Good job, sister.
Yeah, there's something to what George Costanza said all those years ago.
No doubt about it. All right. We have had a lot of different angles today on a Wednesday. A little bit of NBA with the Luka Doncic comments. Justin Wells talking Longhorn recruiting at 1. I think we'll re-rack that on hornfm.com later on. Get that up on the as a blog post today. Some good stuff there. His thoughts on the visits that have happened and kind of what Steve Sarkisian and his crew are doing there. But we have also talked about Garrett Cole and this sticky substance discussion in Major League Baseball. So just to get you caught up, the easiest way to explain this would be strikeouts are way up, and I mean crazy way up, in the last 3, 4, 5 years. They're concerned about it, and they've now had batters starting to tell them, look, we're not trying to come up with excuses here. 97 in heat is 97 in heat. We are telling you that these balls are spinning in a way they've never spun before. And now, Trey, they have the technology to follow spin rate. That's another reason this is becoming a big story, because the analytics can stretch to this spin rate. Because back in the day, you couldn't say, well, Barry Bonds is on this and he did that. Like, you couldn't line it all up. You could say Barry hit a couple homers in a week, but there was no way to know he's using this, he's not doing this. They can look at these pitchers and go, okay, the spin rate went up or it went down. As this discussion comes up at the beginning of June, Garrett Cole's spin rate was drastically reduced.
I'm guessing there is a way to quantify the steroid scandal from the late 1990s and early 2000s, mid-2000s, but it's using technology that exists now. Yeah. Like, you could use...
True.
I don't know, speed off the bat or exit velocity. That's what it is. You could probably use something like exit velocity to try and quantify it, but it's not as obvious a thing to look at to see those splits from when Garrett Cole was pitching in Pittsburgh to his time in Houston and beyond. And then also what's happened over the last few weeks as this has been talked about more. And it's not just Garrett Cole, by the way. Trevor Bauer saw his spin rate decrease over the last couple of weeks, too. The same guy who was calling the Astros out for something fishy going on with that increased spin rate a couple years ago. Well, he eventually got with the program, too. If he didn't already know by then, he was made aware that a lot of dudes were starting to do that, and he eventually followed suit.
There's talk behind the scenes that these players are trying to find, like, scientists, doctors, or whatever, that can make them sticky substances. That's the discussion. People are trying to figure it out. And this stuff that Garrett Cole was asked about is spider tack. And I mentioned this earlier, but that comes from the world of weightlifting, power lifting. These guys that are out there lifting the giant, like, concrete balls and stuff, they use this spider tack stuff just to give them a little bit of grip. In their world, it's not going to ultimately help them do it, because you can either lift the 500-pound thing or you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And there's could be some other issues involved in, you know, in everything that they're doing. But this is just to give them a little bit of that tack. So there's products out there. You can find spider tack on Amazon, but it's not allowed in Major League Baseball. Neither is sunscreen combined with resin or combined with, you know, with rosin or whatever it is. But there's something that they've been allowing this year, and they're going to have to clarify all this stuff. It's almost like, Trey, a few years ago, they saw all these home runs, and they've overcorrected and allowed way too much for pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's what do you do? We've had people texting in today. Come on, it's baseball. Who cares? And, oh, man, what is this? First it was about home runs, and now it's about this. They're just, you know, they're balancing it out. But when it goes this hard to the strikeout side, they are going to take a look at it. So now they're talking about 8 to 10 times they might be checking for substances in a game, 2 times per start for starters. The famous stories of Gaylord Perry or the Necro Brothers or whatever back in the day, we may start to see more and more of that. So baseball's got to figure out what will you allow. Because remember, in the steroid discussion, Trey, the beauty of it for a while was they allowed everything because
mm-hmm.
they tested for nothing. So the argument for some people is, well, what do you mean they cheated? They didn't cheat. There was no, I mean, you say they cheated the game, and I get, you know, you can go into an existential argument, but the league didn't test for it.
Right.
But in this case, they're telling them they can't do it. It almost goes back to the sign-stealing stuff. They had talked to them about the electronics. They had said, you can't go down this road. And the Astros and Red Sox and maybe probably others went down that road and got caught. So now, what are you about to do? What do you do with the Gerrit Coles of the world? Because as he answered this question yesterday, he went with, I don't know quite how to answer it, to be honest. And he said there are customs and practices that have been passed down.
Yeah, lots of hemming and hawing going on.
He's
out of Gerrit Cole.
He's going with, like, unwritten rules here.
Right.
There's stuff that... So basically, let's go to Major League. He's saying that the Harrises of the world show up with Crisco, Bardo... You know, on the jalapeno Manos. They show up with those tricks,
yeah.
Pass them on to Ricky Vaughn, and then when Ricky Vaughn loses a couple miles an hour, he starts implementing all that stuff.
Or even before he loses a couple miles an hour. He does it in his prime, which some of these guys are doing. Trevor Bauer just won a freaking Cy Young last year.
Yep, and this is his four-seam fastball that they measured 125 rotations per minute decrease just last week. It had been going up and up and up and kind of, you know, plateauing, and then it just went woof, right off the table. They asked Gerrit Cole about it, and he gave a rambling answer about just, oh, you know, just didn't have control. Just kind of lost control that day. And a batter had brought that up. Josh Donaldson brought it up and mentioned Gerrit Cole. And by the way, Twins, Yankees tonight, and Gerrit Cole's on the hill. This story's about to not go away.
I love the inherent rivalry in baseball between hitters and pitchers. Because Josh Donaldson had to know that when he was going to call Gerrit Cole out, there were a few guys on his team who were guilty of that as well.
Pitchers, yeah.
Yeah, a few
exactly.
pitchers who were guilty of that, absolutely.
That's a great call, yeah.
It's why I'm in the category of people, Chad. The more we try and demonize these things, the more that they're going to happen in these seemingly nefarious, in-the-shadows ways, because guys will always be looking for the competitive edge. And considering that we want to be entertained by our sports and we want to see our athletes perform as good as humanly possible, why would we cherry pick which science we're allowing and which science we're not? Mm-hmm. Because the science that we're not, all we're doing is encouraging those guys to go underground where it's not as open a process. And it is potentially much dangerous to the individuals who are partaking in these things. And yes, in an hedonistic, perfect world, nobody would be doing anything to try and get that extra bit of advantage. But that is not reality. That is not professional sports, where not only are hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars on the line, these guys are all hyper-competitive, and you have a ton of eyes on you as well. So the pressure is there to perform.
Somebody says they were checking out the Dan Patrick show this week, and Tatis Jr. was on, said that pitches he's seen this year that he just hasn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing more and more of that from pitchers around the league, that you're seeing stuff that you have not seen. You bring up an interesting point, too, Trey. I feel like baseball fans, tell me if I'm wrong, Specs text line 337-3776, it's like baseball fans are much more comfortable with things that are done to the ball, to the bat, or in this case, even to like the pitcher's hand, which ultimately does it to the ball. They're much more comfortable with those things than something that's done to the player. Because back in the steroid era, and you're okay with all of it, but I'm saying a lot of baseball fans will draw that line and say, no, 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 no. If you're putting it in your body That's a different story, but the Gaylord Perrys and the sandpaper and pine tar and maybe even this stuff, spider tack. I think a lot of fans would say, well, so what? You can snap off a fastball a little differently. Learn to hit it then.
Yeah, I do wonder about when you start to manipulate the tools themselves. So when guys are scuffing baseballs and corked bats, that's where I think it gets more into that area where I would want to see what we could do to keep those things from happening.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, though, I mean, if it's more a matter of just letting everything happen versus trying to be so restrictive in certain areas at certain times when a problem gets too bad, and then the moral police come out and act like something terrible is being done to the sport, well, guess what? The strikeouts and spin rates and all these other things, those have been popular talking points in baseball these last few years. So they've actually helped the sport out. And in a weird way, they're helping the sport out right now because you and I wouldn't otherwise be talking about baseball in early June.
It's true.
I'm sorry, we just wouldn't.
Right.
We love the Rangers. We keep peripheral track of what's happening in MLB, but that's not a June time conversation on most sports radio airwaves.
But the difference is, in the 90s, the controversy was bringing people to the ballpark. This controversy does not bring people to the ballpark. You can't bring people to the ballpark with spin rate and strikeouts and no hitters. That's not what does it.
Look, I think that baseball going forward is going to have a problem bringing people to the ballpark. It's just so much simpler and so much more cost-effective to watch these things from home on television if you really do care. And there are certainly exceptions, and the Rangers made a wise move to put a roof on to where you could play day games on getaway day and actually draw a little bit of a crowd in the dead of summer when otherwise people would be foolish to want to sit out in the 100-plus degree heat for 3-plus hours. Baseball needs to try and speed the sport up. They've made some moderate moves in that direction. But ultimately, baseball is a sport of relaxation, and a lot of people, I feel like, have plenty of other better things to do than go to the ballpark, considering how much it has come to cost. And perhaps that's a critique of what baseball has allowed salaries to become, because you have to pay for those salaries somewhere, and of course, you're going to try and earn those back at the gate. Baseball would have been smart to try and institute some sort of salary cap. I know they've gone the luxury tax route, but that's only doing so much. I mean, a team is going to spend stupid money on a guy if they really want to bring him in that badly.
So somebody on the text line says, what are we talking about here, fellas? It sounds like steroids, but you haven't really mentioned what the questionable supplement is. Again, I don't know if supplement is the right
word.
It's
not a supplement. It's a substance, so I'm glad you asked.
These substances is a group. It basically is you're not allowed to add certain substances. The rosin bag is allowed for pitchers. The pine tar is allowed for hitters. And I guess in other situations, whatever. But you can't do the substances that help you with spin rate, supposedly. And the one that he was asked about is spider tack. That's one apparently that is used. Sometimes it is sunscreen combined with rosin, or it's, you know, other issues. So that's what we're talking about here. And baseball has clearly stated you can't use this extra stuff. The problem, though, I keep going back to it, is I swear I read an article that said there was something that they're allowing this year that they've never allowed before. So they have to figure out where their lines are going to be drawn. Pitchers for a while were so frustrated at the steroid discussion, but then realistically you had to say, well, wait a minute, if the batters are using it, well, there's probably some pitchers using it. We found out that was true. And now you've moved into this area of more strikeouts and starting pitchers are dominant and they're thinking about moving the mound back. And then you've got some of the best hitters in the league, Tatis and some of the others, saying, look, I'm just telling you, there are pitches that are being thrown right now I've never seen in my life. I told you about, in the article I'm reading, coaches are sitting down watching old games from like the 80s and 90s, and they're like, yeah, that pitch doesn't even exist anymore. Nobody throws that pitch anymore. It's a very different world of not only the guys have gotten stronger, bigger, faster, all that stuff, but also now they're getting smarter in a different way. They're using the analytics in a different way. So where does Major League Baseball draw the line? They say they're going to start looking at the substances and checking them. I really do think tonight's Gerrit Cole start is the beginning of a whole different world of baseball. We're going to start seeing all these little reports on this starter, that starter. They've already started grabbing baseballs from certain games. Remember the Trevor Bauer baseballs, right? Didn't they confiscate some of his to look at?
I don't even know. Maybe.
I think they grabbed some of his balls to look at this. Are we scuffed up? Are we not?
Baseball is so cute when they act like they want to care.
I know.
When they've clearly known an issue has been there for a while now. I mean, give me a freaking break, guys.
I know.
Anyhow,
it's crazy.
We've talked enough baseball for today, Chad. Let's get into this Olympic Village story real quick before the break, please.
Yeah, I wish that this was a happier story. I'm hoping it ends up being a happy story. But they're getting ready for the Olympics, Trey, and this kind of ties into some of the stuff we've talked about with post-COVID and masks and all that stuff. But Tokyo has decided that the Olympic Village may not include a key ingredient that it is always included, alcohol. They are considering not allowing alcohol in the village itself. One of the leaders, the CEO of the Tokyo Organizing Committee, says in the case that they were to drink inside your own room, it's the equivalent to cases where we are drinking in our own home. But the village is different to them. The public areas in the village may be a little bit different. Quote, can we prohibit that as far as being in your room? That's not conceivable. It would be very difficult to do so. But he says alcohol might be banned from dining areas and other public areas in the village. This story goes on to talk about, you know, how Tokyo and Japan overall have not had terrific COVID numbers. But if you're going to be realistic about it, they've also not had an amazing amount of COVID deaths when you compare it to the rest of the world. They have if you compare them to other Asian countries. But my question, Trey, is if we know that the Olympic Village is supposed to be, what I tell you the other day, 70% or 80% or more vaccinated folks, they think they might get over 80% of the village, athletes and workers, athletes and staff members vaccinated. But you're going to tell them they can't have alcohol outdoors?
Yeah.
What?
I don't quite understand that one either, Chad. They really are going fun police on these Olympic athletes who, after their events are over, they just want to unwind, drink a little bit with other world-class athletes.
Right.
Perhaps put that condom bowl to good use. It's in each and every hallway across the Olympic Village.
That's an Olympic hero.
Are they going to take the condoms away from them next to try and dissuade them from having sex? All they're doing is pushing people into rooms. All they're doing
is
pushing people into those more confined conditions. That what have we learned over the last 15 months? That's the optimal spot for COVID spread, is if you're putting people, I'm assuming they're dorm room sizes.
Probably.
You're putting people in small rooms like that. They're likely going to be jammed to the gills with people that just want to hang out with one another and party a little bit. Now that they've completed 3 to 4 years to a lifetime's worth of training to hopefully win gold. But if not, at least you can say you got there. And they want to kick back and blow off some steam that's been building up for all that time now. Come on.
So now you know what the Olympic Committee is going to have to do? Order more condoms. Because of what you just said, everybody's going inside.
They're taking the condom bowl away, Chad. That's what it sounds like. That's the direction we're headed.
They need condom barrels if this continues. It says many bars and restaurants are closing early in Tokyo, are banning alcohol sales. Their emergency orders do end June 20th, but they're not sure whether they will extend. I get that in Tokyo itself, you might be having issues, but you're creating a bubble in the Olympic Village, and you're telling me you're going to be 80% or more vaccinated.
Yeah.
So I don't get why, if the gymnast and the pole vaulter want to hang out and have a drink after competition, it should be okay in the dining area. You've created this for a reason.
It's an extension of the frustration that we see at certain places around town that are still clutching really hard to this idea that we're still better off keeping people masked up. I'm sorry. That's just not the case anymore. It's not. I understand the value all the way up until the last couple of months, but now that this many people are vaccinated, and if you're not, you've either had it or you're willing to roll the dice. And if you're vaccinated, you don't have to worry either way because you have protected yourself and your clan too. Yes, we do see the occasional case of a person still getting COVID, but they're usually asymptomatic and they are not likely to transmit it to somebody else either. That's what the science is saying. But people who have allowed themselves to get so spun up to this point by the science are now choosing to reject the science. It's a flip-flop from what we were hearing from the most anti-COVID people a year ago.
Yeah, and again, these are people agreeing to your bubble. They're agreeing to a bubble. They're agreeing to a certain amount. They understand that. They are agreeing to go to fly to Tokyo and take the chance. They are agreeing to take the chance. They're agreeing to take the risk. And I would bet you that they do not consider like having a margarita or a shot of tequila or a little whiskey out on the dining deck. They don't consider that risking their lives. And if you take it from them, you're taking away kind of the Olympic Village part of it.
What does the IOC think about threesomes? Are those dangerous?
I really don't know. That's the nicest thing that the IOC allows, I believe. I think threesome, it gets much darker after that. It gets much more treacherous after that for the IOC. I have no idea. I'm certain they don't care about these athletes, but I'm saying these Tokyo folks might end up caring a little too much. Just a little too much.
Yeah.
A little too careful there. All right, so hopefully they will get the Olympic Village figured out. They do still have time. We're sitting here on June 9th. Again, those laws the laws that are in place in Tokyo go up through June 20th. Hopefully they'll see good numbers. And if I didn't mention it, they are actually seeing new coronavirus cases falling in Tokyo over the last several weeks. That's really good news, too. So overall, again, they've had about 14,000 deaths. That is good by global standards, not good by Asian standards in terms of if you just look at the Asian countries. But they are seeing some good news there. So hopefully they will be able to calm this down and let the athletes have a little booze, a little sake if they want to.
As much as we all love to complain about this country, I think most of us are pretty thankful that we live here right now, because it was a capitalistic drive that led to the vaccines, creations, and implementations within society. And now the U.S. is sitting much better off than most other places around the world.
You like sake? You had some sake?
I don't drink a ton of sake. I think I'm about to start drinking more of it when I eat sushi, though, for the obvious connection of it being available and probably getting better versions of it. But apparently it also has an antibacterial effect for the raw fish that you're eating, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, there's cold sake, correct?
Yeah, cold and hot and room temperature as well.
I'm not a hot alcohol person. I don't need my alcohol to be hot.
It depends.
Alcohol in like hot tea or alcohol. I don't want that.
I enjoyed the occasional hot toddy in the dead of a Chicago winter drink up.
Okay.
Which I did, hot toddies.
Hey, if I'm in a winter like that, I'll drink whatever keeps me warm.
Yeah, there's something about warmed up whiskey and apple cider with like a cinnamon stick in it.
It'll help.
Oh, it's soothing for the soul. Just like chicken noodle soup, Chad.
There you go. All right, I'll do it in that case. All right, coming up, why today matters on this June 9th. We got some big birthdays for you, including another 40th birthday of an absolute beauty. Don't move. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
We've definitely established a groove today. A playlist off of the Moon Hooch Discovery. What do you got, Trey?
This is practically a Sam Pika playlist, Chad. This is the Budos Band. The song is called Chicago Falcon. Drink up, baby.
Nice. The Budos Band?
Yep.
So you said?
Yep, we're going to finish things off with Clowncore.
I just got to tell you. Just based on the name, I've got to go down the rabbit hole of pigeons playing ping pong. I've got to go check that out a little.
FU sounded good.
FU was good. That was nice. Yeah, that was the track of theirs you played earlier.
Yep.
It's very good. I may have to go check out a little. I promise, though, I'll try to get through OK Computer before I go to pigeons playing ping pong.
Please do.
I don't want to insult Radiohead any more than I already have. by not listening to that record yet. All right. Thanks to Trey, as always, for finding interesting music for us to listen to and jabber about. We've been talking about this Gerrit Cole sticky substance issue. If you have your Major League Baseball package, that game is tonight at 7:10 or so, New York at Minnesota. That's the other thing. He's on the road tonight.
Mm.
Target Field, just bringing it up. Maybe that's why Donaldson opened his mouth, because he knew the Yankees were coming to town soon.
The timing makes sense.
Maybe that's it. Well, I got to think, even if you're not, if you don't have the baseball package, we're all going to find out what happens in that game tonight. Also, I didn't mention this, but four minor league pitchers have recently been suspended for substances, for putting sticky substances on the baseball. So this is something Major League Baseball, middle of the season, is trying to police because they're, you know, behind in a lot of cases. They kind of retroactively care, and we'll see what happens with that story. So we're getting into that. More stuff coming. In fact, Stems and Seeds, if you missed it, A&M finally found their new baseball coach. We'll get into that at 2:45. Right now, though, let's tell you why today matters. It's June 9th.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All right, June 9, that would be 6-9. Nice. For Brad Kellner, who's coming back to Shirts and Skins, to the triple option today
at
3 o'clock.
Can we just go ahead and put the 69 jokes to bed?
Can we be
done with those?
Well, we can, yes. It's just Brad Kellner can't.
I think he can, too. I'm saying us as a society. I'm not calling any one person out. I think we're good on the 69 jokes for the rest of our lives.
All right. I agree. I would agree that we can probably put those down. All right. So on this June 9th, we will start with another 40th birthday of a beautiful woman. Earlier in the week, it was Anna Kournikova, which made us talk about hotties in sports. But today, it's just one of those actors that every time I see her, makes me feel good. I'm a nerd, Trey. She's been in a couple of nerd nerd franchises, I guess is what we would say.
Oh, really? What?
She's been in a Star Wars franchise as well as a Marvel franchise.
What was she in Marvel?
Natalie Portman is 40. Natalie was in both Thor movies. I guess she might be in the next one. There's a third Thor movie on the way. She was a scientist in the Thor, I thought about those movies for you because I knew you liked Portman, but the movies themselves I don't think would have been your cup of tea. So that's why we went with Ant-Man. But she was very good in those, and she's one of the few things that enabled me to focus on episodes 1, 2, and 3 in Star Wars.
Well, she's one of those women now, but she was a girl back then that a teenage Trey realized just how attractive the opposite sex could be that was right around my same age. We're like two and a half years apart.
Mm-hmm.
So she would have sprung onto the scene in 94. I would have been about 16 at the time. A little bit young, not saying I would have tried anything necessarily, but I remember thinking to myself at the time, she is a pretty little girl and she's going to grow up to be a beautiful woman. And
yeah.
Sure enough, she has. And it's weird to say that now, but hey, this was 16-year-old me saying that. Not 43-year-old me.
She's a great actor. She's got a lot of interesting movies. My wife loves one called, what is that thing? Is it Where the Heart Is? Where she has the baby in the Walmart. Have you ever seen that one?
No.
You get Natalie Portman and Ashley Judd in the same movie. Now.
Where the Heart Is. I'm not seeing that one. Oh, there it is. Yeah,
what it's called?
It was in 2000.
Yeah. Now, it's not the happiest movie in some parts, but she's very good in it, and Ashley Judd is good as well. Natalie Portman, 40 years old today.
She is in Heat. She's a secondary character in Heat. She's apparently in Mars Attacks, which you and I still need to watch.
Oh, that's right. Dude, that cast is so varied and so many people. I forget who's in it. I forgot she was in that one.
Black Swan, No Strings Attached, quality romantic comedy there.
I haven't seen that one.
Your Highness, which I haven't seen, but it does have to do with the cannabis, so I would give it a go.
Alrighty.
My favorite role of hers, though, maybe other than Heat, or I'm sorry, not Heat, The Professional, which was such a good movie. We may want to review that one at some point this summer as well, is V for Vendetta. Love that flick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've never seen that movie.
Dystopian classic.
Yeah, I would watch that. Somebody points out she was in technically in Endgame, so she's been in 3 of the Marvel movies, and yes, the next Thor will be the 4th Thor. The nerds are getting on me. There was Thor Ragnarok, which is the 3rd one. So then the 4th one, I think she may be in that one. But yes, so Natalie Portman is definitely definitely, well, I say definitely, I don't know her personally. I haven't seen a picture of her from yesterday, but just beautiful. Like, doesn't see, I've never seen Natalie Portman where I thought, oh, be careful, Natalie.
Yeah. She's gorgeous and she's really smart too, which is obviously an attractive quality. Don't know if she has a sense of humor, doesn't necessarily need it. But yeah, she attended somewhere in the Ivy League. I'm forgetting where exactly, and I am not seeing that in the quick scan of the Wikipedia, but she's probably on that list for me, like a top 5 or top 10 list. Just favorite actresses in Hollywood.
She is beautiful. Somebody's bringing up The Professional. V for Vendetta has been brought up. And somebody mentions, oh, look at this. Chris Bennett says Where the Heart Is was filmed in Austin. I didn't know that. Austin in Central Texas.
So she has filmed a couple different movies in Austin. The one that led to her attending a Texas football game was actually a few years ago.
That's the one Chris Bennett keeps bringing up.
Oh, gosh. What is it?
Chris Bennett has that
song
video.
Song to Song is what it's called. And apparently the movie itself was not all that good. But Natalie Portman was here in town, ends up at a Texas game, and CB, I think every year on her birthday, as he should, by the way, because
yes,
she is stunning in that video. It's just like standing by herself in just an area between two sections at DKR, just kind of looking around, not totally sure what's happening, clearly not watching the action on the field. I'm guessing it was during a commercial break or something.
Leather jacket.
Yeah, but it's cool that she attended a Texas game, though.
And then the other one, I feel like an old man today because Michael J. Fox is 60 years old today, Trey.
That doesn't seem right.
Come on. 60? My whole life. He's also a babyface guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the gift that, you know, Colt McCoy and others have, which is just that baby face. They're just going to have that their whole lives. Michael J. Fox, always love him. We cannot get the kid into the Back to the Future run. We're trying hard, but I love those movies.
You showed it to her?
No, we watched it with her in the room, and she just won't lock into it. It doesn't do anything for her. The time travel part bugs her. Harry Potter, she's way into. Something about this. Star Wars, we got her into. Marvel stuff. Something about Back to the Future bugs her. Can't quite figure out what it is.
Do the 1980s props and sets look a little bit mid-1980s?
Maybe that's what it is.
Does it look a bit hokey? Because I got to tell you, ever since I watched Star Wars A New Hope, I'm having a hard time with some of these older movies and seeing, oh my gosh, you're on a set right now, and I can clearly see that. This is distracting.
This is where your TV setup with audio-visual consultations is too good.
I wouldn't want to change it, but it does screw me with some older films.
It does get you. Michael J. Fox he's in Mars Attacks.
That's right.
And one of my favorite Michael J. Foxes is in The American President. He's very good in that with Michael Douglas.
What does he play? His secretary or his chief of staff or something?
I think he's chief of staff.
Okay.
And is that who would, he's a speech writer too. So is that chief of staff? He does some of the writing of the speeches and things.
Maybe a little bit of both.
Press secretary,
totally sure.
Maybe something like that. Yeah, he's very good in that. So shout out to Michael J. Fox today. Also read one of his books a couple years ago. That dude's inspirational.
His biography?
In a lot of ways. It was the second book.
Okay.
He wrote two of them, I think, in a run, and I was reading a little bit of the second one.
Mm.
One of my typical, I started a book and I still haven't finished it things.
Ooh, underrated Michael J. Fox movie, Secret of My Success.
Yeah.
That's solid. A quality flick, man.
Secret of My Success is great. And I've always said, the better usage of the song, Chicka Chicka, much better than the Ferris Bueller usage.
True. And then also The Hard Way with James Woods. Did you see that one?
No.
Where he plays a Hollywood actor who is researching a role. He's supposed to be playing like this hardened cop. And so James Woods plays the hardened cop. And James Woods is a giant a-hole in real life, but he also plays a really good one on the screen too. And so they have good chemistry. I like that movie. Probably another underrated flick for Jay Fox.
Got to check that one out. All right, before we're done, we'll go stems and seeds, including the Aggies finding their baseball coach, and we'll get you ready for tonight's NBA action. Just one series, and it now involves an MVP. This is The Horn.
Shirts and skins.
That's a hell of a start right there. What do you got, Trey?
This playlist fell apart a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I didn't play most of the not as good stuff, but this is a song that falls in that category. This is The Handsome Devil.
Okay.
That's the name of the group, and the song is called Elephant Bones.
The Handsome Devil. That started in a weird lyrical area. That was very spacey. Trey did the playlist today off of his liking and my liking and our weird discovery the other day of Moon Hooch. So a lot of different bands. The best band name easily was Pigeons Playing Ping Pong today. We hope you enjoyed some of that. Also, hope you enjoyed the Natalie Portman conversation. Somebody reminds us it's Harvard, Trey, Harvard grad for Natalie Portman. Someone else says Song to Song, the one filmed, I guess, here in this area, was awful. Still don't know what that movie was about. And then what was the other one? And then somebody else says, oh, Michael J. Fox's cameo in Curb Your Enthusiasm was a legendary one.
Such a great episode. Woo! It is Michael J. Fox having fun with the condition that he's been afflicted with for so many years now. And it is something that I think only could have been pulled off properly by a show like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, and maybe only possible with a sense of humor like Michael J. Fox's. I mean, you had to be really comfortable with yourself.
Absolutely. And apparently he is and has been for a long time one of the really good people. Just very generous with his time, even going back to when he was the guy back in the mid-1980s between family ties and Back to the Future and Teen Wolf and everything else that put him on the map.
Happy birthday to both of those folks today. It's a round number day for those two. Michael J. Fox hits 60, and Natalie Portman is 40 today. Let's go Stems and Seeds, including the new coach in College Station.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678 or avconsultations.com.
Hey, real quick before we get to the new A&M coach, congratulations to your Cowboys for inking their first-round draft pick to a four-year deal with that fifth-year option. Parsons officially under contract now.
There you go. Micah Parsons officially a Cowboy. And in the world of college baseball, there were two big dogs in this state that a lot of the other bigger programs have been looking at for years. One of them is Tadlock at Texas Tech. The other is Schlossnagel at TCU. And apparently the Aggies looked at both of them. Mm-hmm. TCU was able to lock Tadlock down in a lifetime contract, so he wasn't going to College Station. But Jim Schlossnagel is going to College Station after 18 years in Fort Worth, Trey. 18 years at TCU. Apparently they were going to make him one of the highest paid coaches out there. TCU baseball has money, and they were willing to give it to him, but I guess there were other issues there. He wanted to take the challenge of trying to get A&M baseball back to a place they really haven't been, maybe kind of do what he did at TCU. So before he got to TCU, two trips to the College World Series ever, and he took him to five.
Yeah, he's a great coach, and hopefully TCU can find a comparable replacement, a guy who can keep that program where it has been for a number of years now, because the conference as a whole and the teams within it are better off the better teams that you have. And TCU is one of those teams that has helped prop the conference up over the last few years as Texas has been a little bit down.
Yep. So we know obviously Longhorn fans will keep their eyes peeled for who ends up in Fort Worth now to replace a name like Schlossnagel. That went down in college baseball. Also, how about this story from the NFL? We know they're international. We know they want to continue to be. Now they're expanding the idea. The NFL wants to expand its international series by holding regular season games in Germany. They've launched a process today to identify a partner city. So, Trey, the thing that we've seen happening in London for so many years, now it's going to expand to some city in Germany. The only reason I get concerned about these type of stories is it shows us how that they continue to not care about their players, the travel, everything that's required. I mean, they'll hopefully structure the bye weeks like they need to. But, man, if you're on a certain team, certain teams in certain seasons, they put you through a hell of a travel schedule.
Especially if you get that layover in Madrid, Chad, traveling all the way to Germany, whether it's Munich or Berlin or someplace else.
But one of the reasons they're focusing in on Germany is one of the world's largest economies, which certainly helps, but it's that NFL fan base they've already built in Germany. They say a lot of German fans come over to England when they do the stuff at the, what's that place called, Tottenham? the Tottenham facility.
Sure.
Yeah, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, where they'll have more games this October. Apparently German fans show up for that. So the NFL continues to expand internationally. So
good for the NFL. I've always said the NFL is not big enough nor popular enough. Sure. They need to find ways to connect with the worldwide audience. This is Steve Patterson's strategy, Chad.
They still have mid-level popularity worldwide.
That's right. Hey, looks like LeBron James is deciding to switch numbers next season.
Uh-oh.
It was announced a little bit earlier that he is going from 23 back to 6.
Ah.
Which, of course, was the number that he wore before getting to Los Angeles. And this might have something to do with the summer release of Space Jam or Space Jam 2 or whatever they're calling that cockamamie remake of the Michael Jordan, Bill Murray classic.
What would the movie have to do with it?
I guess he's going to wear number 6 in Space Jam.
Oh, he's going to wear it in Space Jam and then try to sell the jerseys off the backside of that. And the NBA probably doesn't make him buy up the remaining jerseys like the NFL does.
Probably not, yeah. Nor are they going to encourage him to say anything negative about China because they want to make sure the movie and the New Jersey sales do well over there, too.
How dare you? They don't care about that stuff in the NBA. They never have. Yeah, Space Jam 2 is coming out at some point. I see some of these advertisements now. LeBron, obviously, in it. Ogwumike is in it on the women's side of things. I think she's a villain in the movie, and then there's other basketball players and stuff, so...
Just what I always wanted to spend my summer doing, Chad. So just watch for 2 hours basketball players try to act. I think that's a recipe for a lot of success. No, I'm not ever going to watch this movie. But then again, I haven't seen the original Space Jam either.
I'm trying to think if I've even seen it all the way through. I think I might have sat through it. Might have sat. Does that not say that? Might have sat through it one time. Maybe.
Okay.
But it certainly wasn't anything I thoroughly enjoyed.
And it has Bill Murray in it, too, by the way.
Oh,
I have at least that reason to watch, but it's just never something that interested me, even back then, much less now.
It's got all kinds of things. It's got all kinds of ingredients I should like. I just don't like it. It's combining a lot of things I like. It doesn't make sense.
Were you a fan of the Roger Rabbit movie, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
It was all right.
Okay.
It's okay.
You were okay with the human cartoon blend, though,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, some of that was
asking.
Okay, but I'm not in love with that movie. I don't go back to it over and over again. I appreciate it for what it was. That's a tough thing to try to film and all that, but I'd rather have that than Space Jam.
Yeah. As a teenager, I went back to Jessica Rabbit over and over again.
Now, that is a whole other discussion. Well played on the drawing of Jessica Rabbit. All right, Triple Option is up next. Then it's your Wednesday night lineup, Fight Night, and Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Big stuff going on in both of those worlds. Check it out. Have a good Wednesday. We'll be back for a Thursday show tomorrow, 1 o'clock. We'll review Running Scared.